There is more freedom in society than ever before, and more opportunity for one to express one's own talents and opinions. Physical fitness is a way of life today, as evidenced by the fact that just to compete in the Junior Olympics as a teenager, one has to break Johnny Weissmuller's world record gold medal attempt in the 200-meter freestyle swimming event. Teens and preteens today are breaking the world record set by Olympic champions of less than 20 years ago. And yet everywhere we look, there seems to be a crisis. First it was the Cuban Missile Crisis, and then the crisis of Watergate, and next the Israeli-Arab crisis, the energy crisis, the Iranian crisis, the inflation crisis, the Chrysler crisis, the Afghanistan crisis. For each of us, the middle age crisis. In the Chinese language, the symbol for crisis is the identical symbol for opportunity. Through the centuries, the Chinese have come to know that crisis and opportunity are synonymous. The current energy crisis is one of the greatest opportunities for the Western civilizations since the Industrial Revolution. Just as the Russians' orbiting of the Sputnik satellites touched off the space technology crisis in the United States and spawned the Apollo program and Neil Armstrong's eventual walk on the moon, so has the current energy crisis given new birth to alternate sources of energy to power our lives as we approach the 21st century. Using the technology of laser fusion and water, the prospects of 1/16th of an inch of San Francisco Bay powering the western United States for 350 years is not just a pipe dream. Liquid hydrogen engines are already in the testing phase on the various salt flats of the automobile proving grounds. Liquid hydrogen, the same fuel that powered the Apollo spacecraft to the moon, may well power our private and commercial transportation vehicles of the future. The most exciting thing about liquid hydrogen-powered vehicles is that the exhaust from these engines burns cleaner than the air above Pikes Peak. It may be possible that in the year 2020 in the city of Los Angeles, there will be 10 million liquid hydrogen-powered vehicles all sucking the smog out of the basin, just like vacuum cleaners making the air coming out of these vehicles cleaner than the air that went in, and thereby solving the smog problem and giving us the ability to see the mountains of San Bernardino for the first time since 1949. Energy from alcohol, energy from deep thermal rocks near the center of the earth, energy from the sun, the conversion of coal into petroleum, battery power, garbage power, and there's still hope for nuclear power. You know, we're very fortunate that electricity was not brought to us via a destructive weapon in the same way that nuclear power was first introduced to us via the atomic bomb at Hiroshima. Had the first product of electricity been the electric chair, you can be sure that today we'd be afraid to plug in our toasters and appliances because of the way we concentrate on the negative and the problems rather than turning problems into opportunities. One of the best ways to properly evaluate and adapt to the many environmental stresses of life is to simply view them as normal. Earl Nightingale recently told me of his visit with his son to the Great Barrier Reef, which stretches 1,800 miles from New Guinea to Australia. Noticing that the coral polyps on the inside of the reef, where the sea was tranquil and quiet in the lagoon, appeared pale and lifeless, while the coral on the outside of the reef, subject to the surge of the tide and the power of the waves, were bright and vibrant, with splendid colors and flowing growth. Earl asked his guide why this was so. "It's very simple," came the reply. "The coral on the lagoon side dies rapidly, with no challenge for growth and survival, while the coral facing the surge and power of the open sea thrives and multiplies because it is challenged and tested every day. And so it is with every living organism on Earth. The adversity and setbacks in our lives, if adapted to and viewed as normal corrective feedback to get us back on target, serve to develop in us an immunity against anxiety, depression, and the adverse responses to stress." According to my friend and associate, Art Linkletter, who in addition to enjoying great professional success, has endured tremendous personal crises, sums it up like this. Things work out best for the people who make the best out of the way things turn out. Let me repeat that. Things work out best for the people who make the best out of the way things turn out. I like that because it fits in with my own theory on winners' anticipation and response to stress. Winners thrive on stress. Stress is propulsion power and energy. My own proverb on this truth is offered to you like this. Since life is only what you make it, it's not what happens to you that counts. It's how you take it. Remember every day, crisis sparks opportunity, and stress is the normal winning condition. The third fundamental principle for the 1980s is that the winner's edge is all in the attitude. Let me repeat that. The third fundamental principle for the 1980s is that the winner's edge is all in the attitude. Winning has a new definition for individuals and organizations in the game of life for the 1980s. It used to mean beating the others and being number one. Winning signified standing victoriously over a fallen adversary, the survival of the fittest. As we enter the final decades of this century, it is obvious that the very nature of winning must change. The real winners in the present and future world arena will be more often the champions of cooperation rather than the champions of competition. While power to maintain access to resources will continue to prevail, the survival of the fittest philosophy will give way to the survival of the wisest philosophy of understanding, of cooperation, and of reason. The win-lose playbook that suggests that there must be a loser for every winner, that winning by intimidation is fashionable, is obsolete. The win-win playbook is the only one that can endure. Win-win means, if I help you win, then I win too. The real winners in life get what they want by helping others get what they need. Winners, in my opinion, are those individuals who, in a very natural, free-flowing way, seem to consistently get what they want from life by providing valuable service to others. They put themselves together across the board in their personal, their professional, and their community lives. They set and achieve goals which benefit others as well as themselves. You don't have to get lucky to win at life, nor do you have to knock other people down or gain at the expense of others. Winning is taking the talent or potential you were born with and have since developed and using it fully toward a purpose that makes you feel worthwhile, according to your own internal standards. Happiness, then, is the natural byproduct of living a worthwhile life. It's not a goal to be chased or sought. Happiness is the natural experience of winning your own self-respect, as well as the respect of others. Happiness should not be confused with indulgence, escapism, or hedonistic pleasure-seeking. You can't drink, inhale, or snort happiness. You can't buy it, wear it, drive it, swallow it, inject it, or travel to it. Happiness is the journey, not the destination. As elusive as a butterfly, happiness comes only to those who feel it without chasing it. There seems to be only a fine line between the top 5% of the real achievers and the real winners in society and the rest of the pack. I call this fine line of demarcation the winner's edge. When I think of the winner's edge, I'm reminded of the difference between simple boiling water and powerful steam, which is used to power the giant steam catapults that used to launch my Navy jet aircraft from the flight deck of aircraft carriers. When water is heated to 211 degrees Fahrenheit, it is simply boiling water. However, when the temperature reaches 212 degrees, only 1 degree higher, the water is converted into steam, which is powerful enough to hurl 60 tons of steel from a dead stop to 120 miles an hour in 2 seconds. It's also amazing that on the professional golf tour in the United States, only a few shots separate the very top money winners in golf from the rest of the tour. And in baseball, the American and National League batting champions every year actually only hit safely about 20 or 30 more times in an entire season than those who didn't make the top 10 in the batting average finals. Just a few strokes of the bat in a different way separates the true champions from the average professional. In the Olympic Games, the difference between the gold medal winner of the 100-meter dash in track and the fourth-place non-medal winner is often only 0.2 seconds. And so the winning edge is only a degree here, a few strokes here, a few swings there, and a couple of 0.1 seconds here and there. In the National Football League, on any given Sunday, any team in the league can beat any other team in the league, depending on its mental preparation before the game. The talent in professional football is so nearly equal that the score at the end of the final gun is a matter of inches and a matter of split-second timing. What is true on the athletic field of competition seems also to hold true in every other walk of life. The real leaders in business, in the professional community, in education, in government, and in the home seem also to draw upon a special cutting edge that separates them from the rest of society. And this cutting edge can be measured in inches, 0.1 seconds, ounces, pennies, and degrees. When we speak of degrees, we're not speaking of educational degrees necessarily. We're speaking more of degrees of persistence, degrees of effectiveness, and degrees of positive self-awareness. The winner's edge is not in the gifted birth or the high IQ or in the talent. Talent's cheap. You can buy it and recruit it. It's everywhere. The world is full of educated, talented valium addicts. The winner's edge is all in the attitude. not aptitude. Attitude is the criterion for success. But you can't buy an attitude for $1 million. Attitudes are not for sale. Your attitude toward your potential is either the lock on or the key to the door of personal fulfillment. Rather than seek out all the new fad movements in an attempt to try to discover ourselves, you and I should get back to the basics in life and perhaps refresh our memories. The best self-help book of all, of course, the Bible, says it all. As I think, I am. Earl Nightingale interpreted this maxim, put it on record, and has the all-time best-selling narrative recording that has sold several million copies all over the world. The Strangest Secret. And the strangest secret in motivation is the fact that we literally become what we think about most of the time. This declaration touches all of us without discrimination. Since we always move in the direction of our currently dominant thoughts, those thoughts that we are thinking of most, it is imperative to concentrate our thoughts on the condition we want and expect to achieve rather than try to move away from what we fear or what we don't want. Simply stated, winners focus on concepts of solutions rather than on concepts of problems. The mind cannot concentrate on the reverse of an idea. What you and I, our families, our fellow workers are going to concentrate on for the 1980s are the fundamental principles and basic human values. Number one, optimism is vital for survival and success. And my affirmation for the 1980s is, I love being alive right now. Let's go. Number two, crisis sparks opportunity, and stress is the normal winning condition. And my affirmation for the 1980s is, give me more challenges to meet and more problems to solve so I can thrive and grow. And number three, the winner's edge is all in the attitude. And my affirmation for the 1980s is, I get what I want by giving others what they need. And this psychology of winning gives us the edge in anticipating and responding to the tremendous changes that you and I will be facing in our daily lives. This decade of change, this age of reality, will become the era of abundance for you and me.